listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want. You're listening to On the Couch, On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
Your friendly psychologist. It's Dr. Michelle, of course. Today we got a great show, as usual, because it's all about you. It's all about you. As they fade off into the dark. Love that guy. The group's called Spark, by the way. I always want to give them a prop. All right, here we go. We'll be back later, guys. We'll hear from you. There you go. All right. If you want to give me a call live on the show today, as I said, it's all about you and your issues, whatever they may be. What I will be doing is answering a lot of your emails. Oh, I've got a whole different array of issues today to deal with. So it's really fun. But let me give you the phone number off the bat here if you'd like to call and ask a question. About relationships or problems you may be having or just general questions. I'm going to be answering an email from a guy who says he procrastinates. And what's up with that? Why does he do that? Well, I'll tell you a little bit about what I know about why people do that. But you probably already know. So the phone number here is 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815. Los Angeles number. Area code. It's okay. Go ahead. Go for it. Give me a call. And let me just establish, first off, that you and I do not have a therapeutic relationship. This is advice, information, entertainment, suggestions, that kind of thing. How's that? All right. So Dr. Michelle here, that's me. I will be reading off your emails that you wrote me. First of all, you can find me on my website if you go ahead and log on to the homepage here. At laradio.com, the number one internet talk station. You can find me at drmichelletherapy.com. Go ahead, click up on channel one and my face page. And now you can connect with me if you like, find out what I'm about. And of course, you can email me, as all the listeners did today, about problems or questions. You can get to that link as well on my face page here at LA Talk Radio, or I'll give it to you. It's docmichelle@AOL.com, docmichelle with two L's, at AOL.com. And that way you can get her done. Ask me some questions. I may not be able to answer all of your questions, but what I try to do is pick a group of questions that really are variable. You know, there's a lot of differences, but they apply to a lot of people. So I try to get to as many as I can when we're doing the 50-minute blitz of It's All About You. Rather than have a guest on my show. So today, that's what it is. So we're going to be dealing with issues like managing anger, bisexuality, healthy self-concept, how to convince someone to have a child. What else? Oh, also self-esteem issues, and how to get back my girlfriend and boyfriend. Things like that. So I've got a whole slew. So let me just jump in right now. And let's see which one I'd like to hit with first. Let's go with the bisexual issue, because I want to just jump into that and kind of help somebody out. I have two emails that are along the same line, so I thought I'd just lump them in together and then answer the question. Mm-hmm. All right. I don't know if this is his real name, but he says it's John. Dear Dr. Michelle, I am a bisexual man, and I want to be honest about this to my girlfriend. We met 2 months ago. When and how do I tell her about my bisexuality? 2 months ago. All right, next question. No, seriously. It's really important for you right off the bat to tell someone about your sexual preferences, especially if you want to get into some kind of a meaningful relationship, because then they know where you're coming from and they can choose if they wish to, you know, stay with you or not. So I would be very honest. If you say she's your girlfriend already, I think you should have told her when the relationship began. I'm not sure the first night when you meet and you're starting to get out to know someone, you should tell them about your sexual preferences. Although, if you're really opening up and really getting to know someone, it might be a good step to take. Or on the second date. Oh, by the way. Because you're starting to talk about a little bit about your history and things you like. You know, I like walks on the beach. I like Italian food. I like men and women. You know, things like that. So, conversations to have at the beginning of a relationship. So that's, there's not a when and how. You need to tell her right now, John, about your bisexuality. Then that's being fair to her. You see, we've got to be completely honest about stuff. Not our past sexual experiences and how many people we've had sex with or what strange and wonderful things we've done. You know, that's not really a good thing to get into after 2 months of a relationship. Probably be good to lay low on that. But just tell her your sexual preferences. No biggie. She'll either be okay with it or she won't. Better to tell her now, because then she'll be able to look for somebody else who's not. So how's that? Hope I helped. All right, if you want to email me here at LA Talk Radio, you can just log on to Channel 1 and get my contact email address or my webpage as well. So let's move on. This is in keeping with the bisexual issue. Dear Dr. Michelle, I was engaged for several years to a man who never told me he was bisexual. See? This is what I'm talking about, John. Here you go. He says he was never unfaithful, and I believe him. That's good. But when he considered living the rest of his life with never being with a man again, it wasn't something he wanted to give up. I'd say that was the deal breaker. The relationship ended, and it was devastating. I'm glad for his honesty, but I feel I was denied the opportunity to decide for myself if his bisexuality was something I could handle. I feel cheated for those years of my life and that part of my heart that he stole because he was afraid to be honest. I don't date anyone without asking up front about their sexual preferences. It's not a judgment of them, it's just that I choose not to be involved with someone who is 100% not heterosexual now. In my opinion, someone who is bisexual is not a good risk for my heart. I can be their friend, but not their lover. What do you have to say about this? I say, yeah, right on. No, you get to choose. And this is precisely why I was talking to John in the first email about being honest with his girlfriend that he's bisexual. Because you don't want to surprise somebody. And here's the key. He considered living the rest of his life with never being a man again and said no, he didn't want to do that. He always wanted to leave it open. So, you know, who wants to deal with that jealousy and fear and a worry on an ongoing basis? Who wants to deal with that? So I say to you, my dear, yeah, you made the right choice. Good for you. And, so, you know, you don't want to come off paranoid or in the first, what is your sexual preference? In the first date, I mean, somebody who, you know, is heterosexual just make a, woo, this is a little too forward here. I'm sitting here with you and I'm in, but, you know, just kind of, it's good to always learn from the beginning where somebody's coming from and then, you know, that's the way it goes. All righty, here we go. Let's move on. LATalkRadio.com. By the way, you can call me if you'd like, 323-203-0815. And as you are every Friday at this time, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle. And also in the heart of your downloads, you're anywhere you want to be at any time. Let's talk about this procrastination thing. Let me just get through this quickly. Because I, let's see here. Where did he go? All right. Dr. Michelle, I am a 35-year-old guy who's engaged to this great lady. We've been together for almost a year. We get along really well, except for the fact that she complains about my putting off doing things or procrastinating on things that I have to do. Okay. This is, she's not going to fix you, by the way. If she thinks she's going to fix you when you guys get married, it ain't going to work. So right now, hopefully if she's listening, not going to fix you. You got to fix yourself. All right, so hopefully this is not, you know, she's nagging to change you. You got to change yourself, man. Maybe she will help you change. But I find in most relationships, when someone's a major procrastinator and the other person takes care of business, there's really, that's a big issue. And there's a lot of resentment there. So, okay, here we go. I agree that I procrastinate, but I usually get around to taking care of business, chores, and calling people back on my own time. Can you tell me some of the causes and how I can change, Bradley? Well, maybe if she does nag you enough, you'll feel guilty and start doing it. But like I said, I doubt it. Why do we procrastinate? Well, I don't know. We procrastinate when we put things off that we should be focusing on right now. Usually, and here's the thing, in favor of doing something that's more enjoyable, right? Or more comfortable. We're kicking back. We're tired. We've been working. Or we're lazy. We just don't feel like doing something. You know, we got the TV on, we're watching a show, or we're on the computer. We're playing online games. We're listening to Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio. Well, that's okay. You can do that. But anyway, you like doing things at the time, and you just are not motivated. Motivation, what is that about? So did you know that procrastinators, they work as many hours in the day as other people? They often work longer hours, actually. You see, but they invest their time in the wrong tasks. This is probably because they don't understand the differences between urgent tasks and important tasks. And they jump right into getting on with urgent tasks that aren't really, really important. Do you know what I'm talking about, Bradley? I can just see you on the other side of the microphone, or the radio rather, shaking your head going, yeah, yeah. Now, you seem like the kind of person, you say you get around to things. You may feel that you're doing the right thing by reacting fast, or you may not even think about your approach and just be driven by the person whose demands are the loudest, right? If you're at work, the boss is yelling at you, your lady's saying, I need this done. Either way, you have little or no time left for the important tasks, despite the unpleasant outcomes this may bring about. So you're frustrated a lot, I get. And another common cause of procrastination is kind of feeling overwhelmed by a particular thing you have to do. You may not know where to begin, right? You may doubt that you have the skills or resources. You may feel just completely drowning or overloaded. So what we do is we try to find comfort in things that we know we're capable of doing. The bad thing is the big task is not going away. Really important tasks do not usually go away. So you got to just do them. Just hold your nose and jump in, baby. Sometimes we also are waiting for the right mood or the right time to tackle something. There usually is no right time or right mood. We got to tackle something. We got to do it. It's no fun. Sometimes we have a fear of failure or success. Are we going to do it right? Are we going to do it wrong? Is it going to take more time because I'm doing it wrong? Okay. Maybe you have poor organizational skills, Bradley. You got to organize yourself a little better. You know, make lists. Oh, God forbid. Get your Palm Pilot, baby, and make those lists. Or sometimes procrastinators are perfectionists. I want to do it perfectly, and I'm not in the mood, and I don't have all the resources, so I'm not going to do it, but I'm going to keep putting it off. So how do you overcome it? You recognize that you're doing it. So you've taken the first giant leap, Bradley. You recognize that you are a procrastinator, as evidenced by the nagging of your fiancé and probably by others in your past. So you know you're doing it. Okay? So you first need to make sure you know what your priorities are. All right? Just prioritize. Don't procrastinate. You know, prioritize. Work from a prioritized to-do list on a daily basis. I don't care how you have to put the list out. You word process it for yourself. Stick it up in front of your face. You know, or the moment you go on the computer, have your list up there. Your to-do list on your calendar. Right there in front of you. Something that will help you pull yourself up as soon as you start procrastinating. So you're like, ugh. Oh, look at all these emails I have to answer, but I really got to go and pay these bills, and I've got to go and help someone. Okay, recognize, first of all, you need to fill your day with low-priority tasks from your to-do list. Do the low and slow ones, okay? Reading an email or request that you've noted in your notebook or onto your to-do list more than once without starting work on it or deciding when you're going to start work on it. You've got to pull yourself up and do it, okay? All right. Leaving an item on your to-do list for a long time, even though you know it's important, don't do that. Okay. Regularly say yes to tasks that others ask you to do. And filling your time with these instead of getting on with the important tasks already on your list. Okay. See, I know what you do, too, because I used to do this a lot. I had to force myself to sit there and take care of things. A lot of people sit down to start like a high priority task, and then almost immediately go off to make a cup of coffee or check emails or have a smoke or do something like that. You know, it's behavioral habits. Sit down, start looking, go, something subconscious says, I'm going to have to spend a lot of time on this. I'm going to go take a break. By the time you get your coffee or smoke or whatever you're doing, you come back and do the mundane things. You know what? You got to also work out why you're procrastinating, Bradley. If you find the task unpleasant, then face it. You find it overwhelming, face it. Get over it. If you're putting something off because you just don't want to do it, you really can't delegate the work to somebody else, you need to find ways of getting off your butt and get moving. How do you do that? That's my problem, Dr. Michelle. You keep talking in riddles. Well, make up your own rewards. Promise yourself something at lunchtime that you like, or dinner, a tasty snack. I don't know. You know, ask somebody else to check up on you. Peer pressure works. Ask your fiance not to nag you, but to go, oh, by the way, did you do this? You know, it's an effective approach. Also, I want you to think, Bradley, about the unpleasant consequences of not doing your task. All right? And here's a really good one. Work out the cost of your time to whoever, your employer, yourself, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Find out how much money you're losing by sitting on your butt if you're not doing these things. Shame yourself into get going. You know? If you're putting off starting a project because you find it overwhelming, you need to take a different approach. Break the project into a set of smaller, manageable tasks. Start with some quick, small tasks if you can, even if these aren't the logical first actions. Just get rolling on it. You see what I'm saying? You got to just slowly get rolling. Okay. So I hope that helped you a little bit, Bradley, and I appreciate you emailing me. You're on the couch with Dr. Michelle on LATalkRadio.com, the hottest and most popular talk radio on the Internet. And we're talking about all sorts of issues today because today's show is about you, baby. It's all about you. And the number here is 323-203-0815. If you'd like to call and if you have a relationship question or any kind of problems or issues that we're dealing with here, I will try to give you some advice. And you and I don't have a therapeutic relationship, really, but I'm giving you help or suggestions or advice and things that I've learned, just sharing information. So that's what we do. The folks who have emailed me and all of the stuff we're working on today, they've contacted me via the face page here on LA Talk Radio. You can find me at my website, Dr. Michelle Therapy, Dr. Michelle Therapy, two L's, .com, or, of course, at my email address where I take all of my listeners' emails and put them into order and figure out how to share them so I can help you. And that's Doc, D-O-C, Michelle at AOL.com. So let's move on. Let's see here. Oh, I like this one. This is about, how do I convince my girlfriend to have a child after age 35? Oh, boy. Dear Dr. Michelle, I've been dating my lady for over a year, and although there are some circumstances that need to be addressed before I ask her to marry, I know that I'll marry her someday. Okay. At the beginning of our relationship, I didn't put any thought into her age. Since we're relatively close, I'm age 31, and I was more concerned with getting to know her than I was with children. A few months ago, she started bringing up that she's almost 35, and she makes it sound like the 35 is the new 60. She's very unhappy with getting older, and even though I don't agree with her, I understand that women generally take aging harder than men. Not true. And I figure she'll get over it. The problem that I have is that I'd like to have a child with her. But the few times that it's been brought up, she calmly states that she doesn't think she'll ever have another child. She has a daughter from a previous marriage. Because after she's 35, it's considered a high-risk pregnancy, she says there's too many health concerns with having children at that age. I guess with all the stories I've heard of women having kids into their 40s, I never considered she might be too old. But then again, the more I read, I still don't think she's too old. The way she acts around kids and the enjoyment she exudes when interacting with them leads me to believe that she would like another child. Oh, I see. We're assuming now. Not to mention the story she tells about how much she loved being pregnant. Yeah, it's kind of fun if it feels good and it's a good pregnancy. Sure. You're assuming. What I'd like to know is if there are others out there who have experienced this situation and what have they done to ease their girlfriends, wives, partners' concerns about having children late in life. I don't want to regret not having dealt with this now rather than later. Okay. Mm-hmm. And this is from Jason. Thank you so much for emailing me, Jason. I appreciate your having the chutzpah to email me this. And I say that because, I hear a lot of I's in this email. I've heard of women. I guess. I need. I have. I'd like. And you're assuming that she, because she talks about how great it was being pregnant and she loves her child, that it's really wonderful to have, and she acts wonderfully with children, that you're just assuming that somewhere deep down inside she really does want children, but she's actually telling you that she doesn't because she doesn't want to be too old and have any more children. So you're 31 and she's 35, and that's great. That's wonderful. She's very unhappy with getting older. Who isn't? You make the best of it. You take good care of your health. If she's not into having a child anymore, and she's made that perfectly clear to you, then listen to her and take it as face value. It's real. She doesn't want to have children anymore. She's done. I don't know why you feel it's important to try to convince her. She already has a child from a previous marriage. It's very difficult for the child, by the way, when mommy remarries and has another baby. It happens all the time. But it's just a little psychological factoid that I want to share with you. And you don't want to be the resented stepfather. Let alone having to push your wife, who's 4 years older than you, into a pregnancy that may be difficult for her. Just because you get that she'd secretly really like to have children. So if your goal is to have children, Jason, I would say get out of this relationship. You know, you've been with her over a year and she keeps saying, I don't want kids. I don't want any more kids. I'm done. I'm 35. I don't want to have any more kids. And you want children. That's not going to work. Forcing her to have kids is not going to make her happy. It's going to make your life hell. And then if she does get pregnant and she has a difficult pregnancy, just don't do it. If I were you, I'd reconsider this relationship. If kids are so important to you, you say here, I know that I'll marry her someday, but if kids are really important to you, I would say, why don't you just find someone who would like to have kids? Doesn't have to be necessarily younger. There are women out there who are 35 who'd love to have kids. Or is your love for her and your willingness to stay with her and be okay with not having kids, is that more important? And being a great stepdad to this little girl or boy. Who? What did you say? She has a child. Okay. She already has a child. And if you're okay with never having kids, then marry her. But if this is going to eat up at you and you're going to secretly resent her, don't do it. Get out of the relationship. Okay? That's just common sense. You either can deal with it or you can't. Alrighty? Alrighty. This is Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio, and you are listening to It's All About You Day. It's Friday, and I thank you for you listening and trying to, you know, ask me these questions about problems that you're having in your life. And they're great. They're really great. So one of my favorite subjects pertains to an email I received. And this is from another guy. I get a lot of guys lately. I love this. And I'm not just saying I don't love women emailing me, but sometimes a lot of guys hesitate to email because men are a little hesitant, more hesitant than women to get therapy. They just are. They're doers. They try to work out their problems themselves. I can handle it. It's not about the ego necessarily. It's just about, you know, manly men are not as verbal. So they don't like explaining all their feelings and thoughts and stuff to a therapist sometimes. So I appreciate this is the way that you can do it, see, via the radio on LA Talk Radio to Dr. Michelle. You just email me at docmichelle@aol.com, and then I'll try to, you know, answer your question via email briefly and then tell you that I'm going to share this on the air. And this is what I'm doing. Ah, oh, dear Dr. Michelle, my sister is a great lady. She has parties all the time at her house. She's always entertaining, and I am a single guy. I'm 26. Several times that she's had parties and get-togethers, I have met this lady. She's been brought... Let me get my head around this. She's been brought over to these parties by a friend of my sister who doesn't really know her, but she's extremely attractive, and I'd like to get to know her better. Last time I was at a party with her, we sat down, and she talked to me about herself for about 25 minutes straight. I was listening because I just love looking at her, and she was hot. My sister told me later that I should watch out for her because people tell me she has borderline personality disorder. What does that mean? Okay. In the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, there's a classification of disorders called personality disorders. This is what this means. Okay. And, it's called, let's see, Axis 2, Cluster B. That's a borderline personality disorder category classification. And borderline personality disorder, I won't go into the boring specifics of it, but basically, I don't know where your sister got this about her. Your sister doesn't seem to know her all that well, but people say this is what she has, and she's stay away from her because she could not be a really great person to be with in a long-term relationship, which is true. That's what she has, because it's a very difficult disorder to deal with. So the borderline personality, you ask me what that means. Usually, if I can sum it up, it means that, and more women are borderline than men. It's just, that's the way it is. Men are narcissistic in that category. That's the narcissistic personality disorder. There's more men who are narcissistic. There's more women who are borderline. Very similar, but just enough difference to what I'm telling you right now. So if she has this, she is probably intensely fearful of abandonment. And she will eventually interpret your behavior as rejecting her, as we call it in the psychological community, being slighted. You're rejecting me. You hurt me. You did this, and you're clueless. So much of the time, if you're with a borderline person, you're going to try to wonder what you did, because they're beautiful at language and manipulating to make you feel like you did something wrong and you owe them on a continual basis. So, but know behind it, there's an intense fear of abandonment. Okay? Borderline people have a history of intense, unstable, and volatile relationships. They go in and out of jobs, several jobs. I mean, we're talking in 1 year, they can go in and out of 6-7 jobs. Because what they do is they create chaos because of their volatility. They're unstable. They're intense. They don't have friends usually because they've managed to criticize them and blow them away with their anger and their accusations. And there's always, it's very unstable. They love you at first and then they'll end up hating you. And then they'll bring you in again and love you and then they're crazy makers, basically. And the reason is because borderlines usually have a very fragile self-image. It's very scary. All right? Borderlines also have histories of impulsive behaviors. If you see someone out there who is an impulsive spender, which can also be part of the manic part of bipolar, if they're impulsive sexually, substance abuse, reckless driving, binge eating, you know, they're very addictive behaviors as well. Also, many times they have intense mood fluctuations between depression, anxiety, and anger. And the anxiety and the anger, that's where you can really see it. Because when they're talking about someone or something or how they got fired or their friends who abandoned them or how horrible life it is or their experience recently of just going into the market and having someone get in front of them and screaming at them, it's really hard to be around someone with borderline personality disorder because they don't have a social awareness of how they appear. And they don't have any idea. They think that's normal. So depression's there, but there's an anxiety and anger that's very difficult to be around. It's so difficult. And especially, you told me in your email here that she talked to you for 25 minutes straight about herself and her problems and stuff. We call that pressured speech. They're talking and talking and talking and talking. They don't even take a breath for you to get a word in edgewise sometimes. See, you're just supposed to be captivated by their narcissistic needs and how horrible the world is to them. And they have the right to be angry. So this is a little clue to me when you told me in your email that she talked for 25 minutes about herself. I know she's hot. And it was fun watching her and all that, but this can wear on you after a while. Yeah. The pressured speech, anger, and anxiety will overcome the sex. Trust me. Also, the person who has borderline constantly feels empty. Empty. They need people to fill them up. And then when people fill them up and help them, then they make them go away. Okay. They become inappropriately angry, and they lash out verbally or physically. More verbally than physically, usually, for women. It's very difficult dealing with this. So if you are thinking about getting involved with this woman, and your sister has warned you that she has borderline personality disorder, treads very slowly. Get to know this person slowly. If she starts to exhibit any more of these behaviors, if you go out with her a couple of times and just kind of know what's going on here. And your sister may be right. So you just have to tread carefully. Because it's very difficult being with someone in the Axis 2 Cluster B. What the hell is she talking about? Well, I'm talking about the passive-aggressive personality and the borderline and the narcissistic and the antisocial and the histrionic. You know, those guys that have a lot of similar features. So be really careful. And I appreciate you emailing me here at latalkradio.com, the most listened to internet talk station. And if you'd like to email me and ask me any questions or problems, you can do so. Log on to the webpage here at the station, latalkradio.com. Click on Channel 1, and I'm right down there. Click on Dr. Michelle, and you can find me and email me. Or you can check out my website at Dr. Michelle Therapy, drmichelletherapy.com. And let's move on, because we're doing It All About You Friday, answering your questions. And I have a lot of guys I've been helping today. So let's go on to another guy, and then I'll move on to a lady, because I've just really been focused. There's a lot of guys who are emailing me, and I love it. It's easier, I guess, to do it online and not have to sit in the same room and pour your heart out, I guess, maybe. I don't know. Whatever. I know there's a lot of guys who come to me for therapy, so that's generalizing. I can't say that. I take that back. Never mind. Dear Dr. Michelle, how do I get back my girlfriend? Ooh, wait a minute. I just dropped that. Where'd she go? All right. How do I get back my girlfriend? Help! I'm a good guy, and I have never cheated on her. We seem to get along, but she just started saying that she needed some more space. Oh, my God. That's the dreaded I need more space. When I asked her what I'm doing wrong, she said it was her, not me. She's not returning my texts, my calls, my emails, my BlackBerry messages. I'm not angry. My emails, texts, reaching out to her, express curiosity about how she's doing, or why she's not calling me back, texting me back. That's all. What can I do to get back my girlfriend, Greg? All right, what happened? There are things you can do. And, you know, you can try slowly if you really want to get this person back. Okay. Probably a good idea to act quickly, but not frantically and weird, before she goes out and finds somebody else. The cool thing is, Greg, is that you have a leg up, because something about you drew her in just once, and you were with her. Now, you need to figure out how to fix the problems and kind of repair what you once had. What bothers me is you're saying, what did I do? What's my problem? What? It's me. That can be true. Maybe she needs to figure out a new direction in life. Has she been talking about getting a new career? Has she been, you know, maybe she met somebody else. And she doesn't have the chutzpah to tell you. That's what happens a lot of times. Or maybe she just wants to break up with you because you have qualities that she's not completely sold on as a long-term partner, and she's going to let you down easy. And if I were you, I would give her some time. You know? A week? Week and a half? Give her some downtime. Don't communicate with her. You've already put it out there, it sounds like. This is just my suggestions. Give her some downtime. If someone says, I need space, it's not you. Give her space. Listen to her. Show her you're listening to her. Okay? So during your kind of downtime, start fixing any problems you can. So think about some of the things that she's told you that you've done that she doesn't like. Whatever it is. I don't know. What? Think about some of the things. I don't know. You didn't give me any information here. But is it, I don't know, she'd like you to dress differently? She'd like you to be more fit. She talks about she likes guys who, you know, whatever. Has she ever criticized you about anything? Maybe you procrastinate, like this other guy who emailed me earlier. Whatever it is. Think about some of the things you could do to be a better you. Okay? And after you've allowed some of this cooling down time, make a couple of chance appearances. Be looking good, baby. At the places, you know, she likes. And, you know, not like it'll make your places that aren't really obvious that, you know, like you're stalking her. You know, find places that there might be chance things that you know she likes. Don't give her the feeling you're stalking her. That'll freak her out more and creep her out more. Do surround yourself with friends. Okay? Let her see you're having a great time with others. So if you guys were hanging in the same crowd, maybe, you see, go to some of those places and be with your friends. And don't jump on her. Show her you're having a great time with others. Show her you respect her space. And let her make the first move. If you see her and you're out there, don't initiate contact until she does. I know it sounds like a kind of a game thing here, But it's showing her that you respect that she needs space. Okay? Hopefully she'll connect with you and look at you and come up, go, hey, what are you doing here? It's like, oh, I've been stalking. No. Hey, I'm just hanging out with my friends. After some separate time, couple of chance glimpses, you kind of see each other, try to arrange time to talk. All right, just say, hey, I'd love to talk with you. Nothing heavy. Maybe we can have coffee next week, in a couple of days, whatever. Just maybe we can talk. I don't want to freak you out or anything. I respect you. Maybe we can talk. And so when you talk to her, make sure you get your feelings across to her. Do not beg. Do not make her feel guilty. Do not accuse, you know. Don't plead. Let her know that you value her. Let her know you respect her and your relationship. Let her know you'd like to continue to have dates with her and see her in the future. Okay? Just listen to her. Listen. The conversation should not be one-sided, but just listen to what she has to say. If she continues to say, it's not about you, it's about me. It is, I guess. Because she's choosing not to tell you what really is about you, if it is. You can't force her into saying, I really hate the way you are in bed. I'm really bored with the way you dress. I don't like you because your job isn't good enough, and I know that I will never respect you because you don't make enough money. Whatever is going on in her head, she's not obviously telling you. Or it is about her own stuff. Maybe she jumped into this relationship too soon, and she's freaked out because she's not ready. If she's not ready, you don't want to be with her. Okay? You get that? Why do you want to be with someone who doesn't want to be with you? Quit forcing it. So think about that. If she's willing to talk and tell you some of the things that disappoint her or she's not really excited about within you and your relationship, listen and make compromises. Work towards some solutions you can both live with so you guys can enjoy kind of starting over slowly. Respect her time. But work some of those things out that she may be willing to tell you. Well, I'd like to be able to do this, or I'd like it if you did this, or I'd like it if you dress like this. I'd like to be more active with you. We just sit around and, play video games or watch movies. I'm bored. I want to do more. Whatever she has to say, work towards solutions that you can compromise. Say, oh, yeah, I'm willing to. I had no idea. Gosh, I wish we would have talked about that earlier because I would have been really cool about that. So just be open to talking. You know, it's really a good thing. Just, and you know what? Again, listen, you don't want to be with somebody who doesn't want to be with you. Why would you want to? That would be no fun in the long run. Unless you have low self-esteem and you love being badgered. You know? So don't do that. Alrighty, let's move on. Speaking about low self-esteem, dear Dr. Michelle. I sometimes feel like I have low self-esteem and I don't know what to do. Why do I have low self-esteem? I don't think I'm very good looking. I don't think I'm very interesting. I had a rough home life, and I was always told that I wasn't good enough. Could these be some factors? Yes, indeedy. Yes, they could. This is for Sherry. So why do I have low self-esteem? God, there's so many. You know, all of us do, to a certain extent. Really, every human being on this earth has low self-esteem. Or, you know, some self-esteem issues about it, something. I'm not this enough. I'm not that enough. No person walking the earth has complete, I don't think, 100% perfect self-esteem, unless they're narcissistic. But the root of that, of course, is incredibly low self-esteem. So, you got to put away some of those thoughts. I'm no good at anything. No one likes me. I'm unimportant. Everything in the world is good at something, Sherry. Everything in the world is bad at others. Okay? So I don't know if you read histories, or I love reading biographies, autobiographies of people, watching interviews of high profile people. Bill Gates was interviewed once, the world's richest person. Yeah. He was in an ABC interview, and he said that although he was good at computers, he is bad at sports. He's bad at creativity, such as playing musical instruments. So he's excellent at computers, and he's a genius. Okay? So people with low self-esteem, we're only aware of, we look at the things we're bad at. Okay? When you have good, healthy self-esteem, basically, you recognize that you're good at some things and bad at others. You may not even know what you're good at. And so you may have to try to find out what you're good at, what you'd like. And then try to focus on doing those things and improving them rather than worrying about the things you'll never be good at or trying to live up to. All right? And not everybody can get everyone to like them. All right? I mean, just because someone dislikes you or doesn't like your style or, you know, people with low self-esteem sometimes think it's really important that everybody likes them. So when you have good, healthy self-esteem, you accept that people are different. Some people will like you and others won't. That's just the way it is. Don't waste your time on trying to get people who don't like you to like you. It's okay. You know who you are in your heart. Everyone in the world is of equal worth. We all have different privileges. Bill Gates, the world's richest person. But, you know, that's his self-made. Okay? It's important to recognize that you have the same worth, the same rights as anyone else. Alrighty? You got to get your facts right. Take a realistic, balanced view of yourself in comparison to others. If you take the view that you're inferior, then you're kidding yourself into believing something that is not true. Everything you think is what you believe more and more and you reaffirm. Alright? We all need warm fuzzies to maintain healthy self-esteem. We all need recognition from other people. That's why we like to be with people who like us. All right? And they're free. Warm fuzzies are free. All right? You can get them from yourself. Find people who will give you recognition. Pat yourself on the back. Do things that make you feel good and say, I did good. I'm proud of myself. Don't discount yourself. Do not accept the baton of low self-esteem. All right? Don't do it. You can apologize for things if people say, oh, you did this, you did that. I'm sorry. But there's some things I'm good at. I feel. I'm kind. I'm not totally a loser. I'm sorry. Somebody says, you're totally useless. I'm not totally useless. Please don't say that. You're really ugly? No. Beauty's in the eye of the beholder. I think I'm pretty okay. Your opinion is irrelevant. That's a feeling that a lot of parents made us feel growing up. You get to say and think. You're entitled to disagree with my view, but you're not entitled to discount it. No matter what other people say when they're suffering from low self and try to take it out on you, you are of significant self-worth, Sherry. Start believing it and start believing it as if it was true. All right, just some suggestions for you because you sound like a really nice person. Don't buy into it. We all have troubled relationships growing up. We all have troubled self-concepts. Every human being on this earth questions sometimes their self-esteem, self-worth, what they're okay about, what they're not. Every human being. And the people who don't are narcissistic and they have no clue. You know what? It's about that time. We got a boogie. We got to get out of here. This is Dr. Michelle, and you've been on the couch with me today, as you always are. I thank you for listening to It's All About You Friday, and thank you for emailing me. If you'd like to ask me any questions, share with me problems, you know, answers you'd like to hear, you can log on to the latalkradio.com website and find me. My email is docmichelle@aol.com. Of course, you can also find me at my website, DrMichelleTherapy.com. Thanks for being here. It's been so much fun. I appreciate all of your questions, emails, comments, all that stuff. Have a great week and do take care of yourself first. I always say that because you got to help yourself before you help others. Okay, darling? Have a great week. Bye-bye. Got you on my mind again tonight. I see in flash.